12:30 Saturday, Sun Devil Stadium. We haven't seen him in action in a couple of weeks. We're looking forward to 18th ranked ASU taking on Washington State, and hopefully we'll be accusation free with ASU taking on Washington State.
Oh, you going back to the stealing of the signs?
Oh, of course. I could never forget about something like that. I mean, I can forgive, but I will never forget.
Your goal is to make Mike Leach call his players fat, dumb, and
entitled.
Entitled. That's well, after the game.
Our next guest is skinny, intelligent, and humble as can be.
Yeah.
He is Chris Cartman from SunDevilSource.com. He is not fat, dumb, nor entitled, and he joins us here in the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline. It's the nicest thing a guy could say about a guy, isn't it, Chris?
What a nice intro. I really appreciate that. I was going to say, I mean, the only indictment that might come on Saturday is from Leach if his players lose the third straight Pac-12 game.
Yeah. Yeah, that might speak volumes and be more than enough. This is a really interesting matchup, given that it looks at least on paper like strength versus strength. ASU's defense, Washington State's offense. This is going to be a tough task for that defense, isn't it?
I've been fascinated to see this one. I think we're going to see ASU do some things that it hasn't all year, or really even since Herm Edwards arrived in Tempe. What we saw is Utah had a lot of success against Washington State by putting a sixth defensive back on the field. That allowed it to disguise its coverages a little bit more. The previous opponents, UCLA and Houston, both showed a lot of just man-free coverage or even cover zero against Washington State's tendency to put five receivers in motion. The only way that you can really combat that is if you take a linebacker or a defensive lineman off the field. And Utah did it. It worked really well. The Cougars have a great quarterback, but he's a first-year player who hasn't probably seen anything like that before. And I think that he was confused at times where some guys would be, the type of coverage. They were able to be in a cover two shell and play some man underneath of it. So even though he completed a lot of balls, it was only 250 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Now, on the downside is they know that opponents are going to probably deploy this type of a strategy, given that it was so successful for the youth, and they have a bye week on top of that. So they'll be a little bit prepared, but they won't have seen ASU do its own version of that type of defense.
You know, the question we have is just, you know, can ASU, with Jaden Daniels being so young and them not being a high-scoring team right now, they're winning a lot of close football games, you know, can they score enough points? If Washington State is going to score offensively and have one of the best offenses in the country, can ASU keep up? Now, Washington State, new defensive coordinator, changes at that position. They've changed a lot of their secondary guys around. So does ASU have the talent offensively to keep up?
Well, I think that's why it's important that ASU try to control the pace and the style of the game, right? Because if you get the ball rolling downhill for the Cougars, they're going to be really hard to beat. So Herm Edwards is, you know, he's very comfortable with you know, being a little bit more conservative, making the Cougars sustain drives and not be able to get some of these big plays. Now, I will say, to your point, the Cougars have been pretty bad on defense, and obviously especially against UCLA when they deconstructed from down up 32 points and losing the game. But their defensive backs have been poor. They had a really tough time regardless of whether they played zone or man. They've tried to be aggressive because they don't have the type of talent up front to impact the quarterback. And they haven't handled five wide well whatsoever, which we've seen ASU do pretty effectively in the last couple of games. And on top of that, they've got some of their gap scheme runs going. So I actually do think that ASU can score 30-some-odd points in this game, and that's important because it might need it.
Chris Cartman from SunDevilSource.com, the publisher of SunDevilSource.com. He's our guest here on Burns and Gambo Show. ASU versus Washington State coming up on Saturday afternoon at 12:30. Let's talk about Eno Benjamin and if it is going to be a game of keep away or putting some points on the board. His effort against Cal was maybe one of the single best efforts I've seen out of him or any real recent ASU running back in memory. He was just a man-child out there with his ability to take punishment. But I know the yards per carry, it hasn't been great. What is a breakout game coming for him statistically this year, or are we just not going to see that this season out of Eno?
I do think that he'll make a step in that direction this game. People kind of need to remember last year, it was the fourth game against Washington that they got some of their gap scheme runs going as their offensive line settled in. And then the fifth game against Oregon State that he had 300 yards. The Cougars aren't very good. And there's an opportunity in this game for Benjamin to probably rush for well over 100 yards and also be an impact in the passing game, because UCLA had a 95-yard touchdown to its back. And then we also saw last week Utah have a touchdown with its running back out of the backfield. They haven't covered those back routes very effectively. So I think he'll be a high carry guy again. That's his MO. I mean, he's a workhorse like nobody else probably in the Pac-12. He's amazingly durable. And I also think that the way that some of these gap scheme runs are setting up for them, they got a chance to probably get into a better rhythm than they have at any point in the season to this point.
Chris, it seemed odd to me that Brandon Ruiz announced that he was transferring. To me, that kind of came out of left field. So two-part, like, one, were you caught by surprise with it? And two, is there enough confidence in Zendejas? He did miss the two field goals last time out, and he might have some struggles with some of the distance. Is there confidence that he could be the guy going forward?
Yeah, I wasn't totally surprised. I felt like there was something brewing behind the scenes there. I had heard that he was cleared to play for Colorado, the previous home game. He had taken and looked pretty good on some 50-yard kicks in warmups and was doing full field kickoffs. And then for whatever reason, he went and put pads on, and then he missed a couple shorter field goals, and it was kind of odd. And he said that, you know, maybe he tweaked something, but you know, there's a lot of talk behind the scenes that people around him only wanted him to play if he was getting full season opportunities, because he was trying to go for the Groza. And ASU, meanwhile, was saying that, hey, you're our best kicker, so we can't afford to redshirt you just because you've had this injury to start the season, which was a groin injury and legitimately kept him out of the first two games. And I think that kind of disagreement spiraled into where people were a little accusatory. I do think that Zendejas is very accurate from inside 40 to 45 yards, and especially at home, but his leg is not nearly as good. And I think that's a factor when you get into some longer range opportunities.
I mean, isn't that really selfish of Ruiz to put his own personal gains ahead of that of the team's when the team's off to a good start?
Well, I do think so. And I reached out to Reese and I asked him some questions, and he kind of he filibustered on me a little bit and didn't give me really clear answers. And then ultimately he got off the phone, and I've given him and his family and other people around him an opportunity to try to convey their side of the story, but they haven't refuted any of it. And it's from enough places that I do believe that that he was, you know, his self-motivations we're taking the priority in the situation, and that can't happen.
Yeah, the good stuff, as always, it's the kind of stuff we've come to count on you over there at sundevilsource.com. So thanks for coming on for a few minutes, Chris. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game this weekend. I know we'll talk to you real soon.
Day game. Going to be awesome. Thank you.
You better believe it. That's Chris Cartman joining us on